Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Very excited that you're here. On this episode, I've got a new friend, Alicia Bell. We've actually never met before this recording, but now I can proudly say that I feel like I know Alicia pretty darn well. Conversation is interesting. We go into her background. She's an entrepreneur, has her own landscaping business, comes from a family that goes back generations, loving plants, being very talented with landscaping and their green thumbs, etc. We also talk about her challenges and her resiliency in being a woman or a female business owner. I hope you enjoy this one. As always, if you like what you're listening to, please subscribe, get updates on when new episodes post, share it with friends, family, etc., and also give it a rating if you feel so obliged. All right, enjoy this one with Alicia Bell. Yeah, everyone, thanks for jumping back in. We've got Alicia Bell here, and this is the first time we're meeting. For those that don't know, this is really exciting though. I had a previous friend slash former colleague, TK, Todd Kelly, on another episode about his multiple sclerosis. Go check it out if you haven't before. But he knows Alicia. You guys have been friends for a little while, right? Years? How long has it been?
Maybe a year and a half is all.
Okay. Wow. Shortly. But he had nothing but great things to say about you. He's like, you got to talk to Alicia. He said one word about you is perseverance. And then obviously he kind of elaborated on that. You're kind, you're really good at what you do, but I'm really excited to meet you and talk to you. So thanks for being here.
Thank you.
First question, and this kind of always feels like we're in a job interview, but I think it's a very fun question to ask. How would you describe yourself, Alicia?
You know, I love job interviews, so bring it on.
Perfect.
I would describe myself as typically I'm in a good mood. I'm joyful. I have energy. I'm motivated and hardworking, I would say.
Pithy. Look at that. Love it. Love it.
I love being on, you know, I love working on projects and things like, you know, at our house, we're renovating something. Typically, I have a painting that I'm working on. I actually mailed one to my nephew today. So, you know, things like that I enjoy.
So maybe artistic, you like to have your hands busy, you like to be active.
Yes.
Okay. And I'm always curious, people that are genuinely positive all the time. I mean, like right away when we jumped on, I've never met you before, but you've got a huge smile and you do radiate energy. What is there, like, do you think that that's just naturally who you are? Or is, I mean, do you have like a morning routine? Is there some sort of practice that you embody in your daily life that keeps you in that mindset?
That is a good question. I have always had a lot of energy, especially first thing in the morning. And something I've really worked on in the last few years is my positivity. You know, I tend to think more negatively about things, or, you know, have an experience and what's most memorable is something that maybe didn't go as I would like it. And so this is actually something I've been intentionally practicing for the last year and a half. I've been married to my husband for 5 years, and honestly, one of the most amazing things about Travis is that he and I will experience the exact same thing, or we go away on the exact same weekend and you ask him, you know, what do you remember about that? And he remembers all the very positive things. And it was about 2 years ago that, you know, he asked me, what do you remember? And I remembered all the negative things. And it was a really surreal moment to me of like, wow, I just don't really monitor my thoughts or my memories like I want to. So this has been something that I've worked really hard on is, okay, this is a negative sort of thing, but how do I change my perspective? And it has been really impactful in my life and, you know, for the people around me as well.
That's really cool that you're self-aware of that. But so how are you working on it? Are you meditating? Are you just using mindfulness, some sort of a practice? What are you doing differently?
I'm reading a lot of books.
Right. Oh, yeah? Like what? Share some.
I have one that I went to this really cool event 2 weeks ago. A friend of mine who works for one of the city water offices, she said, hey, I just really want to find other women to kind of talk with about, you know, mentorship possibly, or just, you know, women in business. And so I went with her to this event and I met another woman there who has, you know, a psychology practice, and she gave me a book and said, you know, this is your busy season. It's spring, summer, but there's some good tidbits in here that you may want to check out. And so I've been reading this book. It's 2 pages a chapter. It is just practical, you know, kind of habit transformation. That's only been in the last 2 weeks, but I'm nearly done with the book. And previous to that, I would say I'm working on meditation. That's kind of hard for me, but a lot of just writing out, this is the situation, this is what happened, this is how I feel about it, but then leaving kind of a pause of, you know, what do I actually, how can I change the situation in a positive way? How can I think about it differently? And that I would say has been a really good practice and, you know, physical, you know, change for me, that I'm putting it on paper and I'm actually keeping track of the thoughts that I have about something that probably isn't healthy.
Yeah. Well, it could be healthier, right? It's just something to work on. Area of opportunity, area of growth. What's the book?
The book is called Self-Help on the Go.
Self-Help on the Go.
Uh-huh. By Dr. Carrie Johansson, I think her last name is.
Very cool. Very on the nose with the title.
Yeah. I was like, I don't really want to read this book, but the first, you know, the first page I opened up, I was like, ah, it's only a 2-page chapter. And so, you know, 40 later, it's like, wow, this is really good stuff.
Yeah. No, that's cool. So we spoke briefly. You have a really interesting career path. And it started with a passion that was instilled in you by your family. So I'd like to kind of go back. You mentioned to me briefly that the first thing you said on our phone call before this interview or this recording was, we've got great genes. I'm going to live to 100. That was the first thing you said. So let's go back and kind of talk about your family, your upbringing, how, like, what about being outside in nature and how you kind of formulated the, to get to where you are today with your career and who you are as a person. How did that begin? You're growing up.
Yeah. Okay. Let's start with Helen. She's my grandmother on Helen. Father's side.
Is she still with us?
She is not.
Okay.
No, but Helen was 106 when she passed away peacefully.
Wow.
And I have great memories of being around her when I was a kid, that we would visit around 4th of July, and her garden was as tall as I was for as long as I can remember. I'm only 5'3", so there's always something taller than me in her garden, but you know, when we would arrive, we'd park the car after driving hours and hours, and it was just so comforting to see her space. And every year it changed a little bit because of what she was growing, but it was like, yep, there's grandma's garden. Like, it is the best one on the block. And you would walk inside, and she was very organized and very simple, and she would have exotic plants in the living room that have survived a North Dakota winter by some miracle, that she was growing a date plant in the living room in North Dakota. And I just remember thinking, like, this woman is magic. Like, I don't know how you do that.
And you're young at this point.
Yeah, probably 6, 7, 8, 9.
So you're saying it's interesting you use the word magic with plants, right? Because some kids might just look at the plants and be like, oh, cool, she's got a tree. Like, they don't really care.
Yeah.
But something obviously sparked your interest in this. What, do you think it was just that you looked up to Helen so much and sharing that passion with her? Or is this something that you feel like innately is just built into you?
Well, my dad, I take after my dad in pretty much most hobby and entertainment, you know, is biking, hiking. We both love wildflowers, gardening, landscaping. We'll get into that a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But I think really just watching my dad, watching my grandma, watching aunts and uncles really gather around plants and trees. And, you know, it's funny. We would go see my aunt and uncle's houses and it's like, hey, you guys remember my tree? And it's like, oh, yeah, I remember the tree. Like, it's so much bigger. Or, you know, it died or whatever. It's like we tour everybody's garden and they're outside and, you know, you bring buckets because they're going to give you tomatoes and, you know, whatever they're growing. And I think that that's probably where it came from, is just as a young kid and really a small child, just learning to care for plants. I grew up around house plants, outdoor plants. I learned how to weed when I was really small. So I've been doing weed identification since, you know, I don't even know, forever. And I actually had one of my first employers told me, he's like, man, I interview so many people in a day, you know, in early spring, you know, almost winter time. And he's like, you just can tell, like, some people have it and others don't. But he's like, Alicia, I know that I can hire you to take care of the stuff. Like, I just know you're going to do it. And I think that was the first time somebody really pointed it out to me. Even though in college I had house plants and high school I had plants and I've always helped on other people's gardens and stuff, but I didn't really know that it was, like, you know, kind of a gift in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is, from an outsider's perspective. I'm sitting here thinking, like, what's so unique about being a landscaper? Like, I don't know many landscapers. I mean, you know, it's, I wouldn't say it's necessarily uncommon, but it's, maybe I would go that far. It's a pretty unique career path. You don't come across it very often, especially ones that are running their own business, right? So Helen, your dad, your aunts and uncles, your whole family just love being outside, love being around plants. You obviously took to it pretty naturally. So as you grew up, did you always know you wanted to do landscaping? Did you have an idea of what you wanted to study? Like, where did this go? I remember you talking on the phone about your entrepreneurial spirit. Maybe we can start there.
Sure. Yes. When I was a kid, I would take a Sharpie and do a little doodle on a rock. And I would go to my dad's landscape company and I would sell rocks. And I loved it. I just loved it. So I've always had that in the back of my mind, is like, how could I make a living at this? Or how could I earn something with, you know, my talent or my skill? I've always been interested in that.
Yeah. How'd the business do, by the way?
Oh, the rock business was great.
Yeah. Lots of money.
Phenomenal.
In there.
Yeah. Most neighbors bought at least one rock.
Yeah.
Yeah. 50 cents to a dollar, I think, was the price range. So depending on size, obviously.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Though when I was in high school, I remember, you know, a lot of pressure to go to college. And I think other peers, you know, they had ideas of what they wanted to be or what their parents maybe wanted them to be. And it was all kind of like run of the mill stuff. And I've always loved what my dad did, that he is very creative. He's really talented with multitasking and really creating and developing different things. And so my dad did very well with landscape. And when I actually worked for him for a short time, I saw, wow, this takes a lot of skill in a lot of different areas, and I don't really know that I'm cut out for it. And
like what? I as somebody that doesn't know a lot about landscaping and that kind of a, as a career or as a job, what kind of multitasking, what kind of skill sets do you have to have that you were surprised by?
So my dad ran a design build, which includes meeting the client the first time, talking with them about the design process. Once that's complete, then you go into, you know, the bid phase and you price out everything that's on the design. And then, you know, you work with clients of what do you remove and add based on their budgets. And then you implement. So construction that involves irrigation, demolition, lighting, concrete, pavers. It just is endless. You can put so many things in a backyard and you have to know so many things about electrical, plumbing in a lot of ways, what's underground, you know? It's
wow, yeah. You have to have like a high level knowledge of everything, and then you have to be able to pick the right people to help
you
implement that.
Correct. And so my father did a little bit of everything. So he was really good at it. And I had never seen my dad multitask. When he was at home, you know, he's typically even keel, loves being outside, loves a few things in life. He loves lattes. We would drink lattes and watch hot air balloons go up on Saturdays as a kid and just relax outside. And those are wonderful memories I have of my dad. And then when I went to work with him, he'd be on the phone here, running to this person's house, on the phone, going here and there. And he managed at one point 30 employees at one time. So
wow,
he just had a lot going on. And yeah. I was able to see that and identify that, you know, the portion I like is the design and the creativity and kind of the innovation on the front end. Though I really do enjoy being a part of construction, and I learn a lot. The more I'm around construction, the better designer I become.
That makes sense, because you talk about like plumbing or electrical. Now you can understand how that's going to fit into your design, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, even I have a project currently that we're working with a carpenter, because it's a pergola that's arced and it's irregular. It is super cool, but you know, it's not like a, you know, it's not a standard pergola. It's really cool. So we needed somebody who knows how to work with wood to put it together.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're okay. So you're, at what age are you? And when was this happening that you were working with your dad?
Well, I think I started working for my dad about 10 years. I was about 10 years old. I wanted to work with my dad. I actually,
Child Protective Services. Plants. Don't listen to this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. CPS.
Excuse me. It was volunteering at a young, young age. But when I was younger in summers, my mom would drop my brother and I off at the shop, and my dad would get a delivery of plants that needed to be potted up. So we would take the plant that would be a root basically, and you just basically put it in the container with the soil, water it, and then you organize the nursery. So that was like some of my first memories of working for my dad. But when I got more involved in the business aspect and the client relationship, that was more so in my early 20s.
And so you were feeling not forced, but expected to go to college. It sounds like you didn't want to.
I did not. And from my parents, there was not any pressure.
Oh,
so
okay.
I took time. I went on a gap year. I returned. I worked at a nursery and lived with my parents. I've honestly had many different jobs. I've worked at Chipotle. I was a hostess. I've worked at REI on and off for a number of years. I was a spin instructor. I have been a personal gardener. I enjoy working. It's fun. I think it's great that I can meet people on a work day and, you know, make new friends. So I've always liked working, but to answer the question of did I always really know that I wanted to be in landscape or a designer? I don't know if I really knew that for certain until I spent time doing other things. And every growing season, I just craved being outside and being around plants and a hard day's work. Honestly, I feel really proud of myself when I come home and I'm just like drenched, you know, or I've got salt all over my skin because I've been sweating all day working somewhere. It's like the greatest feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think going through all those jobs helped to narrow down what you actually wanted to do?
Absolutely. And I eventually went to school for landscape design. After a couple years of working entry-level positions that are really challenging, and the general public is brutal most days. And so really a lot of the motivation for me was I can really fine-tune something that I innately understand. And that's interesting to me, that I can continue learning plant varieties and Latin names and, you know, memorizing the height and width and keeping, you know, myself sharp on my horticulture, and also just being able to care for my clients and have fewer people that I interact with and have a better experience in that.
Mm-hmm. And that's what you studied in college, horticulture?
Landscape design, with a certificate in horticulture.
Okay. So when you got to college, you mentioned you had an interesting experience with just leadership. Mm-hmm. I don't want to push too much, but can you share whatever you feel comfortable sharing? Because I think it's interesting, just a testament to the person you are, that you know, you love work, which I feel like these days, especially being a millennial, that's unheard of, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of unique. And I know that you've had some challenges being a woman that's also trying to, you know, pave her own way in a place, in a space that, I don't know, maybe it's dominated by men, maybe it's not, but people try to hold you down a little bit. So I don't know how much you want to be able to share about that or how much you can share about that, but I think that's an important aspect of your story.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. While in school, I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the opportunity to spend time learning because I had been working for a number of years, multiple jobs. And so studying and learning kind of felt kind of like a privilege even. You know, it's like, wow, I get to be here and do this. So I was pretty excited going into school. School has always been a challenge for me. And so, you know, I think that there were like a lot of fear that I brought into that space as I went to school as well. But I did have a professor who didn't like me more on a personal basis than on like an intelligence or a grading basis. And he ended up flunking me out of my senior design course. And I was so frustrated. I couldn't believe it. I showed up to, I don't think I had an absence that I was even aware of. And we had a discussion about it, and it was just completely unfair of the reasons he gave as to why he would not allow me to advance. And after 3 months of meeting with deans and the board and other professors, they actually were able to give me my diploma and grant me graduation, which was very exciting. but it was a really challenging time, as everybody I knew had expected me to graduate without any hesitation. And I'm standing in the empty parking lot at school, so frustrated. And turns out 3 months later, I was able to move forward. And the day I received my diploma, I went to a high-end landscape company in Denver that my dad had known for years and years and years. And I went to his office and I said, "Hey, Michael, I have my diploma. Can we talk? And he ended up giving me a job a couple weeks later.
Well, and you love interviews, so that probably went smooth.
Love interviews.
So I want to go back to your point at the beginning. You were saying, you know, you've really had to work on being positive.
Yes.
Being not turned down, but being trying to be shot down by a professor that you likely look up to because you're literally learning from them mm-hmm. in a degree that you're feeling grateful to be learning about.
Yeah.
Going into a field that you're very passionate and excited about going into. How, and then you go through that negativity from somebody that you look up to in that way, and yet you still can persevere and have the self-confidence and the, it sounds like just attitude of just being like, no, I can do this, like a very self-assuredness. To me, that sounds positive. What kind of negative thoughts are you going through this time? If you can go back, what kind of challenges were you facing at that point? Because the way you describe that, it's almost like, wow, Alicia is a superwoman and she can just tear through anything.
Yeah.
Nothing can stop her.
Yeah. One thing I want to add to the conversation is that I've always had a health issue ever since I was really small. It's been one thing after the other, really. And so I have had to really be aware of how I think about the future. And, you know, for example, it's been a lot of digestive health, allergies. I had my gallbladder removed in an emergency surgery. So we've had, you know, I've had just different things come about, and I've always been on a restrictive diet. I've always been like different than other kids my age in that way, because I was at doctors often growing up. And I think that that has probably affected the way that I think about things and see things. It's like, I'm just different than other people, or I have to work harder to have the same experience as someone who doesn't have to work at all. And I have been used to doing that ever since I was little. It's like, okay, this is a true story. I found my lunchbox from middle school as I was at my parents' house not long ago, which I'm 30 years old now. And we found it and we're like, oh, that's so cute. And I open it up and it has Metamucil in the lunchbox. And I looked at my parents like, oh my gosh. And, you know, my dad and I took Metamucil at night because I just was this poor kid that couldn't digest anything, which turns out that I've got, you know, food sensitivities and different stuff like that. But doctors didn't really know what to tell me at that time. So I was on like the old man digestive routine.
So doctors couldn't identify what was going on. I mean, again, to me, that sounds like Alicia's just got a superpower where she can just say super, super positive. But I mean, it sounds like you struggled with that a bit and you saw yourself differently, but it didn't hold you back.
Yeah, that's a good,
or maybe it did hold you back a little bit.
I've always just felt like I just need to work harder to be in the same boat as others. You know, I would say in school, that was always true. Growing up, my closest friend was, she's just really smart, and she's very book smart, street smart. Emily is fantastic. And we would do homework together. She would finish in 30 minutes and I would work on something for 3 hours. And I just couldn't believe it, of like, wow, I have to just work harder at this than she does and he does and blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, growing up with different, you know, health issues and things, it was like, okay, Alicia, you're going to be on this diet for the next 3 months. And then we have to do these blood tests and then we'll see where you're at. And I didn't know any kid in elementary school who was on a diet, you know, or whatever. So I've always had to keep my nutrition consistent, my exercise consistent. I'm just used to that. And now that I'm in this stage of life, I feel that I've had a lot of training and good habits that have been instilled, though it was a hard thing to wrap my head around as a kid.
Sure. Yeah. Adversity. I mean, the adversity, it's shaped you and it's come out in a positive way. These are the kinds of things, like, I don't think I told you this, but we have as of today, a 5-week old daughter. And very exciting. We've been pretty tired, but luckily my wife is a saint. She let me sleep extra last night because she knew that this is kind of a passion thing. So she was like, she lets me do it. Anyway, I'm really thankful and grateful for her. But these are the kind of things I think about because we're in a very good position. I'm very grateful about the life we've built for ourselves is, you know, I'm also 30, my wife's 29. And the adversity that you faced, I faced a lot of adversity growing up as well. And that's the kind of stuff that really shaped who I am today. It shaped who you are today. There's a concern, I don't want to call it a worry, but there is a concern I have about, is it going to be like, is life going to be too safe and too comfortable for my children, for them not to, you know, grow out of something. And I'm trying to figure out a way. Life tends to find ways naturally to throw adversity in people at people, which I know will happen. And I hope it's, you know, something that it can make us stronger and not actually break us down. But it sounds like to me, you probably had a lot of support from your family too, in these kinds of things to help get you through it. And, it sounds like it's made you who you are today, which is incredible. But as you go through, this college experience and you face more adversity from this professor, you get through it. Are you now nervous about getting into the career that, you know, your dad's done really well, you've never experienced yourself, or are you feeling like, all right, I've gotten through so much at this point that I can just, this is going to be cake?
No.
No.
No. I thought, you know, the first step was, okay, I got to get my diploma to really get out there. And wow, that was hard. Okay. And so once I got in the job, honestly, I felt more comfortable going to work than I did going to school. So there was some safety in that, as well as working for a company that has a very good name in Denver that does a beautiful job from installation, you know, from design to final installation. And I was able to learn a lot from my coworkers. And really growing up in it, it's like I was able to call my dad and say, hey, I've got a problem here. Can you give me some advice? And he would, but oftentimes my dad would just say, you know, you're going to find what you need to do. And it's true. You know, some mistakes could have done things this way or that way, but I think a lot of being a designer is that you make a lot of decisions for people on their behalf. And I try to chime in with what they want and what they're thinking and, you know, give them space to let me know. Though for projects, I make the majority of decisions.
Yeah. By the way, your dad sounds like such a great figure. Like even just the fact, I mean, growing up and being very present with you, sharing his experiences and the love of and joy of the life he lives with you. And then even as you get older and struggling, he's like, no, you got this. You can figure it out, knowing that it's going to be a challenge, but it's going to make you better at your job anyway. Mm-hmm. Did you resent him at that point when you'd ask him and be like, no, I think you got it?
No, my dad and I have a really, I would say, a lovely relationship. We don't always communicate in words. Like my dad can give me a look or I can give him a look and it says everything that needed to be said, you know? And I think that my dad also sees his experience was at a different time. And when he was starting out in his landscape business, he was talking to homeowners about, hey, you could pay me to do your lawn care. You don't have to mow your lawn. And he said, people just laughed. They thought that was like, no, this is what we do, is we take care of our home and our property. And my dad now is like, yeah, the needs of clients and the wants that clients have are very different than when I started my company. And, you know, you go through those hoops when you're getting started to kind of figure out, okay, what do you specialize in? What is the niche that, you know, you kind of fall into.
Yeah. I mean, this is a theme now. It's like adversity and then just working through, taking any opportunity, working through it and learning from it.
Mm-hmm.
That's very cool. All right. So now you're working with this fantastic, renowned company in Denver. You're learning a lot.
Mm-hmm.
When do you start deciding it's time for me and I want to start my own business, which mm-hmm. is a big step. That's if it was easy, everybody would have their own business. It's not scary.
Sure.
So walk me through kind of your thought process making that decision.
Yeah. I was at this company for 2 years, and then I moved to the maintenance division, and I worked as a client manager for over 55 high-end residences in Denver, plus a few design projects on top. So I worked a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I was contacted a lot from my clients about one thing or another. And when the pandemic hit, everybody was at home. And most of the clients I had likely haven't actually spent a summer at their home in decades. And they could not believe how many changes happen in their landscape in a summer. So I had even more phone calls and more communication and more projects that I was not feeling like myself. And
in what way?
I was so stressed out.
Would you say burnt out at that point?
I suppose. It was a level of burnout. I still, deep down, I knew that, you know, I love this industry. I want to stick with it for the long term. And this position, what I'm doing now, is not something that I can maintain. And I had kept in touch with, I worked at a nursery. I was the youngest salesperson in the shrub department 10 years prior. And I've always kept in touch with them. They were I just loved working with them. And I went into the garden center and they said, "Hey, just wondering, you know, we have a managerial position opening up because we are building a new location." And I couldn't be more excited because I thought what I'm doing right now is kind of soul sucking. And I like my coworkers very well, but man, the clients we have are just beyond what I can manage. And so I went to work at the nursery. That was a good in between for me to get back into, you know, the plant world and to work with a different kind of person in that space, and also be around the staff was mainly retired people and high school kids. And so also working through the personnel dynamics of COVID with these two demographics was an incredible challenge for me. But meanwhile, I would be out in the nursery, you know, doing this or that. And people would ask, "Hey, I've got this side of my house that I want to redesign. And I just can't find anybody who will help me do this small space." And so I said, "Okay, we'll go home, take the measurements, pictures, come back, and we can work something out here at the nursery." So I helped a few people do that. And then I started to get others who would say, "You know, my property, I just need you to come out. Can I just pay you to come out?" And I was like, "No, I work 6 days a week, maybe seven. We're understaffed. I'm sorry. Have a great day." And after I turned away about 20 of those people, there was one client or one customer in particular who came 1 week, asked if I would come to do his design in a high-end neighborhood. And I said, "No." And he returned the second week and said, "Okay, I took pictures and measurements. Can you help me lay it out?" So I said, "Okay, I'm going to help you lay out this portion. And then I got to get back to work." So I did that. He came in a few days later and said, "Alicia, I will pay you whatever you want to just do my landscape design." And I went home that day and I thought, okay, I think in 2 weeks I need to have a business. I think I need to do this. And
wow.
I talked with, you know, my manager, my boss about it, and he knew it and said, "Yeah, I know." And I mean, really, the situation worked out perfectly because there was someone who was really ready to kind of step up in management, and she replaced me as her parents had worked there. And, you know, it's kind of a long story, but it's like, oh, wow, this works out. And I'm able to maintain relationship with them, as presently they send me referrals for landscape design often. So I started my business 2 years ago in July 22nd.
That's very cool. So as I'm sitting here hearing your story, as I mentioned at the beginning of this, this is something I've definitely struggled with. Not knowing what I want to do. That's been a big question for most of my life. I'm very grateful with my parents. I came from a family that I believe I was the first generation to go to college, get a 4-year degree, which was a big step. Mm-hmm. And that was a platform that definitely helped, you know, get me into a career and a lifestyle that I wouldn't have had otherwise. But I'm one of those people where I kind of just fell into what I thought would, at the time, my goal was be financially well off. Didn't have a lot of money growing up. I just want to make money. Yeah. And then once I got there, like a lot of people, it's the classic adage about, you know, money doesn't bring happiness. You know, you can have everything, but if you lose the joy internally, or you're not, you know, finding the happiness that you found in your career, is it really worth it? So, and this isn't a pity story or like a, oh, poor Chris. Very grateful for what I have, but I'm still toying with the idea of like, what is my purpose? You know, and it might not be work for you. It sounds like a lot of your purpose is work, but I'm going to ask you a big question. It's a tough one. If you were to talk to somebody that's younger, maybe they're in high school or even better, they're in college or maybe after college, and they are just kind of stumbling through job after job or in their career, they don't really know what they want to do. Mm-hmm. Is there any guidance or mentorship or advice that you would give to somebody at that age that's trying to figure out what is it that I want to do that will bring me joy in general, more importantly, just finding what they're passionate about in their work?
Yeah. I would like to say, do something that scares you, you know, and preface that with, you know, think through a wise decision-making process of don't do destructive things in your life, but, really taking risks and trying new things, in my opinion, is what you said, Chris, as you kind of narrow down your focus, you know, is probably what happened in my past, is that I was here and I did this and I took care of old people. I was a senior caretaker, non-medical, and it was one of the greatest experiences I've had in my life. And at the time, I just thought, you know, this probably isn't going to pay me enough that I could retire, you know, and have an alpaca farm and my dream at the time, you know? And so I'm very practical in my thinking, but I would say that really do something that scares you. Try it.
What scared you the most?
I get scared after the fact.
Interesting.
Yeah, I get really scared, actually. It's like, if, you know, as a kid, you go up to the water slide and it's like, ooh, I'm going to try the water slide. And you go down it and you had so much fun. And then you run back up and all of a sudden you're like having a panic about,
interesting,
can't do that again.
You are a different breed, Alicia.
I am. And I did diving in high school. I was not afraid of diving for the first year that I did it. The second and third year, I was just horrified. I just had to.
That's so interesting.
Get off the board some days of like, I just.
So you're good at just being like, screw it, I'm going to go for it. It looks fun.
Yeah.
Maybe a little dangerous. And then after you do it, you're like, oh shit. Reality hits it.
Yeah. Which, Chris, part of it may be, I love self-improvement. I love learning. I love perfecting in a lot of ways. And it's like, man, if I, you know, kind of tried something and then thought about like, oh man, how do I really make this work? Or how do I get better at this? And the thought scares me. I've just leaned into that. Mm-hmm. And it's, I don't know if it's getting easier, but it makes life so much more interesting
Agreed.
You know, I auditioned to be a spin instructor without ever going to a spin class. I rode my bike constantly in Fort Collins, and I would just, you know, take a 3-hour bike ride and come home, and thought, I need another job, and I just love biking, so I think I can make this work. And that was a really traumatic experience. And I honestly, I look back and it's like, wow, that was fascinating. They advanced me to the next audition, brought me on to the team. And it was like, wow, even for somebody who has no idea what she's doing here, I really just felt like, hey, I don't know if the others know exactly what they're doing, but I guess we're all going to learn at the same time. So
yeah.
Yeah. You know, may as well try.
Yeah. Traumatic. What was traumatic about it?
One of the judges in the panel jumped over the table, walked up to me. I was riding this bike like a hamster on a wheel. I'm just like, you can't understand me because I'm breathing so hard in the microphone. I have no idea what I'm doing. And so she jumps over the table, walks over, and just turns off the music and stares at me. And I didn't know what to do. She just said, do you know how to hold a beat? And I'm just like pedaling frantically and just like, yeah, I think so. And she changes the song to some R&B and was like, just move your feet to this beat. Okay. It just slow down. Slow. Yep. Okay. Right there. Yep. Okay. You got it. And that was the interview. She's like, thank you for your time. They gave me a water bottle and I walked out and I was like, that kind of hurt. And then they called me 2 days later and they said, Alicia, you've been advanced to the next audition. Yeah.
Oh, I've had those experiences. Actually, I got a job recently. I had an episode where I talked about being laid off my last job. I got a new job, but it's interesting that, and you said it earlier, I forget what part of your story it was, but sometimes people just see something in you and you can make those mistakes, but it's such an attitude. And it's like, you're talking about being positive, working hard. I think you're very authentic too. And just showing up and doing the best you can and not being afraid. Your story is really admirable. And I think that there's a lot I'm learning from it. I think a lot of people can learn from it, which in general is just, like you said, don't be afraid to take risks. And at the end of the day, like, I think a lot of people hear that. Don't be scared. Like, take the risk. Do what makes you uncomfortable. But it can just be as simple as just trying new things. It doesn't have to be big, big life decisions. Mm-hmm. Right? Would you agree?
Absolutely. I had one of the companies I work with for installation. They said, hey, I go by Alicia most of the time, but when I'm at work, it's Alicia because there's so many Hispanic and Spanish speaking, people in the industry. And yeah, one of the companies just said, you really need to learn more Spanish. And so I signed up for Spanish classes the last year and a half. And honestly, that scares me because it's uncomfortable trying to speak a new language, but it's good. You know, it's the muscle that if you continue or if you, you know, make it a routine, this was something that I committed to when I first started the business was every week, even if I had nothing going on, I am going to find a business, you know, a brick and mortar somewhere that I just walk into, introduce myself, tell this person what I do for work, how I could maybe help them or a neighbor or whomever. Here's my business card. Have a great day. And it was, you know, the elevator pitch that I needed to reinforce to myself, like, this is what I do for work. This is, you know, so there were definitely moments, Chris, that it did not go as I thought in those small elevator pitches and were really humbling moments. But I think practicing stepping out of your comfort zone and engaging something that you may fail at, or you aren't the smartest person in the room, or whatever it may be, just try it.
Couldn't agree more. And I've got a couple more questions here. So this is the first one, then we'll end on the final one. There's a yin and the yang, the light and the dark. There's two sides of the coins, whatever you want to call it. I'm a perfectionist, I would say, in general. I'm very type A. I love self-help. I'm always trying to better myself. But yeah, very much like you. And that comes with some downsides that maybe they're the same. But I want to hear from your perspective, what are the downsides of being that personality type? Because I think I do know a lot of people that look up to that maybe aren't that way and are envious about it. Because on the surface, it's like, well, they can do anything. Mm-hmm. They're not afraid. Yeah. They chase what they want. They don't always get it, but they'll learn from that. Great. But there's also, I struggle with the darker sides of that, which might be unique to me, but I want to hear, you mentioned, your negative thinking, maybe that's part of it. Mm-hmm. What else is there, if anything?
Yeah, really. I think the mental state of perfection is really dangerous because you don't recognize what you do well. And for me, I push myself and I push myself and I push myself, and then I tend to just burn out. It's like, oh, I'm going to go sleep for 2 days or something. And that's where I've really engaged in more resources to try to figure out, okay, I work or I strive after one thing or another until it, really just crumbles in front of me. And it's like, okay, well, now I'm just frustrated and I failed, and I can be very hard on myself in those situations. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I have reached out to other resources. And, my husband and I, we started going to marriage counseling a couple years ago for the purpose of, hey, we're getting to know, like, we're learning how to be married and live together and decide financial matters and relational things and friendships and all this stuff. Why don't we get to know somebody who can help us for the next 20 years, right? And I'm proud of my husband because I don't think he wanted to go, but now he actually enjoys therapy more than I ever will. So it's kind of a win-win there. But I think for our personalities, it's really important to let people see how we struggle for help. Because like you said, other people may look at and say, wow, oh, they did this and they figured that out and their website is gorgeous or whatever. But it takes so much work to get to those places. And that's not what people see.
It's a big qualm I have with social media and just the culture that we have, especially in our country, that all you see is like there's a lot of comparison to people's outsides and we have no idea what's going internally. You don't see it.
Right.
That's why I think it's definitely important to have conversations like this and be vulnerable and open about even the struggles that we all might be going through. For me, I mean, you mentioned about feeling burned out. I actually had crazy experience, that I've talked about on the podcast before. So I won't go the whole story, but a year ago now. Yeah. 2022, I ended up having a seizure. Grand mal seizure out of nowhere. Never had one before. I say that all just to say that, to your point, burnout is real. Now I'm having to learn to balance that out with how do I actually slow down? Very cliche, but it's one of those things that on paper I understand, like, oh yeah, balance is important in life. But as I've experienced it to the extreme, because to me, doctors can't point to it, but the seizures to me were literally stress induced. And I didn't slow down. I just, when things got hard, I went harder. So anyway, I'm echoing the same sentiment as you, that I think it's really interesting as people that are seen and are those kinds of people that just push, try to get everything done, be successful, right? It's just as important for us to balance that with slowing down, like your dad did growing up, having a latte, watching the balloons float through the air.
Yeah. It's a challenge, and I have something to be grateful for is where I live, we have seasons and for a season, I work really hard. And for another season, it's rather slow. And there's snow on the ground and you can't even see the landscape, which is quite nice, honestly. It's time to recharge. I really enjoy skiing and, you know, have a little time to do that when I'm not that busy. So
that's awesome. Well, we'll end on this. I like to ask this final question. What are you, Alicia, excited about or excited about, looking forward to?
In what way?
Open-ended.
Open-ended. Mm-hmm. Okay. There's a number of things. We moved recently and we absolutely love it. And I'm just excited to really move in and find the furniture that we would like to have. My husband's been kind of going crazy. We've had a cardboard box as a coffee table and he's just twitching. He's an engineer too. So some of that's just not going to change, but you know, I'm kidding. I'm pretty flexible. You know, right. I like minimal. Backpacking is one of my favorite things. So just keeping it simple is what I'm pretty good at. But I'm very excited to, you know, be in a new space, and we have a total blank slate for our landscape. So that will be something that I can build from scratch. You know, my husband and I like to take a trip every year, and we've just started talking about where we may go next. And I do have some really great projects on the horizon that I'm excited to work on.
Congrats on the new place.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to hearing about a new coffee table, one that's economical and actually works as a table. Well, Alicia, thank you genuinely for sharing your story, for being vulnerable. And I've learned a lot. I think that the listeners will not just hear an interesting story, but hopefully learn a lot about themselves, how they can better themselves. And in general, what I'm taking away from this is just not being afraid to do what you want to do, not being afraid to take risks, be adventurous, and working hard is not such a bad thing.
Yeah, correct.
As long as you know how to balance it with relaxing too.
Also correct.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Any final words or thoughts for wrapping things up?
Thank you so much. This has been a great experience for me.
You're welcome. I'm glad. And it's been fun for me too. So until next time, everybody, take care. Thanks again, Alicia.
Thank you.